I haven't met. My husband is Reino. He is with the kids tonight. Megan said before the service, babysitting. Said, no, not babysitting. It's his kids. So he's not babysitting. He's just with the kids. He is the senior pastor here, and I lead with him. It's a great privilege for us. We love what we do, and we love the privilege of doing it, and we love all the amazing people. We love all of you. We get so excited about all the people and just what the Lord is doing in your lives and the gifts that you bring and who you are. So it's a privilege for me to share the word with you this evening. And we've been doing a series, Possess the Gates. If you can show that slide, Jason. We are possessed to transform. We've had from healing to leading. We've had leading from the heart, prophetic action, and tonight we're speaking about possessing the gates. So some of you only got back to Cape Town now from holidays, so you'll have to catch up three, get the downloads. Some amazing things that would be really beneficial to you to catch up on. Since last year, the Lord has been showing me this picture, and I finally got down to drawing it. I've been seeing keys, and I saw the eagle, and I saw the lion, and I saw the tree. And this is how the Lord often works with me. I'm quite a prophetic person, so I would often see pictures or get dreams or specific visions, and I don't always understand what it means. But I write it down. It's good to be a good steward of those kind of things. You write it down, you pray into it, you ask the Lord what it means, especially if there's some of you who dream. In the morning when you wake up, have a book next to your bed and write it down. That's being a good steward, because you know an hour later that you've forgotten. Do you know it works like that? And then you spend time and you pray into that. And for me, often things happen over a very long time. I would see something and it could, over 2 to 5 years sometimes, the Lord still shows me what it means. So I can honestly say I don't know all that this means, but I do know some. And specifically for tonight, I'm going to speak about the tree. And God's been speaking to me about the trees in Scripture. So I've quite a while ago realized that most of us are not really reading our Bibles. We do read it sometimes on here. But you know what? This is not always such a good idea, because while you're reading your Bible, something else pops up. And then you were just trying to clear your screen, and then it opened. And then maybe it was Facebook, and then an hour later, like, what was I doing again? So just for me personally, it's been more than a year now that I just said I'm not going to, I do use my phone for my Bible. I do use it. It's very helpful to look up things, to Google quickly. It's the best way to search something. But for reading, I want to use this. There's no Facebook on here, and there's no WhatsApp. It's really amazing. So I do want to encourage you as well, even though this is amazing and it has a lot of privileges, don't lose this. So in church, when I preach, I don't put the scriptures on the screen. So it's a good encouragement for you to bring this. And it's good for us. You know, it's quite different. Like when you have your actual physical Bible, you get very used to where things are. Whereas on here, it's not like you page. You know, you can't, when you're reading Revelations, you can't feel that you're at the back of the Bible. You're just on some electronic page. Whereas here, if you read Revelations, you can feel it's like the at the end. It's just very, a lot of advantages to this one. Anyway, so the scripture's not on the screen, but you can use your Bible or use the Christian next to your Bible. Just kidding. Jason, if you can give us the one with the trees. Now, I want to start from the back, actually, and maybe just before you put the trees on, yeah, that's good. Don't put that one up yet. Who can tell me what significant there is in Scripture about trees? Yes, Marianne. In the house of the Lord, yeah. They'll be planted like trees in the house of the Lord in Psalms, yes. What else? The tree of knowledge and good and evil, where was that? Genesis, the Garden of Eden. What else? Yes, he climbed in a tree. Zacchaeus. Yes. Yes, good leader being compared to a huge tree. Say again. A tree that bears fruit. A good tree. Yes, Jesus cursed a fig tree. Claudine. Jesus was crucified on a tree, obviously a very key, prominent part of Scripture. Actually, if you think about it, trees are used quite a lot in the Bible. So if you now walk outside, do you know that there's not necessarily something specific spiritual about a tree? The Bible is obviously using symbology. Trees are amazing, but a lot of what the Bible speaks about trees are comparisons, like a tall tree is like a good leader. Because the fig tree, Jesus was speaking about something that doesn't produce fruit. Lots of principles, lots of things coming through the Bible in trees. But if we look at the main narrative of the Bible, the important story of the Bible, the important string that draws through, what would you say is the important bottom line of the Bible? Relationship with God, yes. And what's the story? Give it to me in two lines. He died for us. Yeah, on the cross. Because he loves us. So if you kind of take like the basic storyline, God created us, sinless and in relationship with him. We made a mistake. We ate the apple or the fruit. Probably not an apple. Apples are not that amazing. I don't think you do it for an apple. Maybe it was apples before the fall. Maybe they were different. But there was some kind of mistake, eating something that you weren't supposed to eat. Not really about the eating, really about listening to the serpent. Disobedience. So that's the beginning of the story. Then there's a whole lot of important things, but then it comes to a crux. The crux being that had to be resolved, that problem. And it was resolved on the cross. So we were created. Actually, the wrong thing that was eaten from a tree. Then there's the cross, which Galatians says, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. In Acts as well, it often refers to the cross as a tree because the cross was made from wood. And then, obviously, there's the whole New Testament, a lot of important things there. And right at the end in Revelation, we see a big battle and we see a victory. And again, there are trees. Revelation is actually quite full of trees. Trees by the river of life. They have different fruit every month of the year. 12 months a year they bear fruit. The leaves are for healing of the nations. It's the tree in Psalms that they speak about that never withers. It always lives. It's full of life because it's by the river being Jesus and the Holy Spirit symbolically. Ezekiel also speaks about those same trees. So Jason, you can put up the tree scriptures. So it's amazing that we see the story pulling through the Bible. We see the tree of life in Genesis 2 verse 9. We see cursed is he who hangs on a tree. We see the cross in the beginning of the New Testament, all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but specifically referring to that Galatians 3:13. And then we see again in Revelations the tree of life. And it says, blessed is he. Let me read that to you. Revelations 22:14. Read with me if you have your Bible. Right at the end of the story. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. The end of the story. There where things are restored, where we are back in full connection with Jesus, where the world is turned right, where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more enemies. And then again, there's the tree of life. And blessed are those who walked in obedience, who can enter back into the tree of life. There where in Genesis we were shut out because of disobedience. Blessed are those who walk in obedience because at the end of the day, you can again walk back into that. So I believe the the key of the tree is such a fundamental part of Christianity. It is the story of life, the story of truth, the story of everything. It's been amazing for us as a church as well that God has spoken to us from when we planted the church. He's spoken to us as also being a tree. And when we planted the church, all the words were about a seed. And the visions that we always saw was the jammy stairs cracking open. Craig, do you want to bring that first painting, please? Just come hold it here next to me. One of our artists made a lovely graphic design artwork for us with all the things that God was speaking to us about since we've planted the church. Thanks, Craig. Craig is doing internship with us this year. It's so lovely to have him. So this is the Jamison Hall at UCT, and there's this crack in the grounds. God has always shown us this. It's like the stairs at Jamison Hall is cracking. This is now spiritually speaking. And God sows us as a church, as a seed in there, the root of Jesse, the planting of the Lord, he shall be glorious, from Isaiah. And over the years, God showed us as how we as a church grew like a tree. And it was about 2 years ago now that God showed us that we've grown very tall. There's a scripture in Isaiah says that all nations will flock to you like the birds of the air. They will make their nests in your branches. So we have the birds there. And it has been true. All nations have come and have joined in this vision of God and have found a home there. Obviously, the eagle signifying the prophetic, the shofar church, the prophetic voice, something that we are very much identify with the calling of God in our church. And this crack in the ground in this tree. And this has also been an amazing picture for us. Thank you, Craig. And what a privilege that God would speak so clearly. Isn't it amazing that God speaks? This to me is one of the most glorious things of life. Isn't it amazing to be here and God speaks? Where's Nolitando? There, that you sang half my sermon. Isn't that amazing? I love that about God. It would just be so terrible and so useless to be dedicating your life to something that is dead. How grateful can we be that God is very much alive? And I, for one, I'm really, as I get older, I just feel more strongly about this, that I'm not going to waste my life. I'm not going to live just for, you know, a white picket fence and a good job. I just really want to live the ultimate that God has, you know? There's so much that God has for us. Everyone's actually got that, depending on your personality. Some people fear it. Some people are apprehensive. Some people are risk junkies, so they love it. You'll have more or less resistance to it. But for all of us, God invites us into that place of the supernatural where we can live with him. And it's something that you learn. It's accessible to everyone. It's not a special gift for specific people. God invites all of us into the supernatural. Anyone can pray for anyone and know what the Lord is saying specifically to them. You just have to practice it. You learn some skills, and you can learn this at all of our training, Bible school, encounters. If you want to learn specific things, come and ask us. Come and ask any of the staff, and we'll help you where you can go to learn that. It's skills that you learn. It's things that you practice, and God invites all of us into it, and that is just so amazing. That is life, real life. Life, not just in the here and now, but life with God, life with the Creator, who invites you into his world, shows you things. How amazing, what a privilege. Even tonight, God invited all of us into his world. For instance, by giving Nolutandu that song, there's her obedience in bringing it. But in that place, God invites all of us in to actually hear through someone what he's saying. That is so incredible. We are so privileged. We're so grateful to God for that. What an amazing way has he opened for us through the cross and through his death. So there's this sequence through the Bible of just the narrative, and God uses the tree as a symbol. And we know that this is the crux of it. The crux is that this is the problem that we had. This is God's solution, is the cross. This is the ultimate price he paid. And we know where the story ends. That is also just so amazing, isn't it? I find that for a lot of things in life, what makes the difference is hope. If there is no hope, there is nothing. If there is no hope, people give up. If there is no hope, there is depression. And in your finite human mind, actually, when you really think about it, there is no hope in your human mind. If you have hope in your human mind, to some extent, you're deceiving yourself. Because you cannot control the world. You cannot control what happens to you. You cannot control what happens around you. You actually have very limited control. We tend to think we control a lot, but we actually cannot. That's why sometimes when something like a tsunami or something happens, people completely freak out because of that sense of loss of control, because they were under the illusion that they are in control. They've only actually just met with reality, but they were so, had such a strong belief in their illusion that when reality struck, it's like psychologically you almost cannot handle it. But praise the Lord, He's really in control, for real, genuinely. He's God, He created everything, He is in control. And when we live in a place where we know that, then everything is secure. In reality, in your natural mind, nothing is secure. That is the truth. But in reality, with God, everything is secure. Everything is in control. Not everything is understandable. Things are not always predictable. But they are secure. They're not always easy. But they are secure in Him. I want us to... Let's see which way we're going to go. Let me talk about Jamison and Memorial Hall. And then I'll show us something. So we're going to have those 4 weeks in the Jamison Hall. And I really want to share what I believe is just also on the Lord's heart. So the advantage of the Jamison Hall, the prophetic significance, as I showed you in that picture, is it's a place that God has shown us is a key. Like we have the keys, the Jamison Hall, because of where it is on the mountain, because of who built it, because of the significance it has in this country, being part of UCT, its connection with Rhodes Memorial, prophetically, strategically, it's important. As we did tonight, as we worship together, something literally changes in the spiritual realm. It's powerful. And I want to echo what Jamie said. If you go to the prayer room, it's the same. When you are in a space where people are worshiping together, something very literally changes. I have the same experience. Every time I go to the prayer room, I change more than I do necessarily when I worship at home. That is important, and the Lord works there as well. And you also need to have that. You cannot always only have corporate worship. You do need private worship as well. But corporately, there's something that happens when we worship together. And those 4 weeks when we go to the Memorial Hall, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put our voices together. We're going to worship together. We have these incredible speakers, which is really such a privilege that God has sent them to us. Each one of them have amazing stories, but much more than that, they carry the authority of their lives. You know, authority comes in quantities, like faith. You can have more or less. It's not just you have faith or you don't have faith. You have a little faith, more faith, lots of faith, mountains of faith. Your faith and your authority grow as you practice it. So the more you practice it, the more it grows. Even if you don't feel it, it doesn't matter if you feel it or not. That's not the point. When you use it, it grows. So at the Memorial Hall at Jamison, those 4 Sundays, when we come together that morning, as we are here now, if Matthew is in the room or if Matthew is outside of the room, the faith in the room is different. Whether Bianca's in or whether she's out, the faith in the room is different. This is why we all go. It's actually not up to the band and their faith. By themselves, they can actually not do in the spiritual realm what God calls us to do, possess. God calls us to possess the land. Actually, each one of us, we bring what we have. And it doesn't matter if it's a little. Everything counts. Every bit counts because it all comes together. And that's what we're going to do at Memorial Hall. Now, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to see yourself standing. And then you look behind you, and then you see rocks there. Now, this is your life, and from when you were conceived, these rocks have been put there, and they've happened to come there, or you've put them there, or people have put them there. Some of them are your skills, your talents. Some of them are good deeds, like you've given money or you've helped someone, you've prayed for someone, you've given your time. Some of them are sin, some things that you've done that you shouldn't have done. You've used pornography, you've been disobedient, whatever the case might be. Some of them are things that have happened to you. Dramatic things, abuse, car accidents, death of a loved one, a teacher saying something mean, a situation where you were put down, your parents maybe saying something mean. So you have this whole big pile behind you of rocks, and everyone has that. So take a moment, just look at it, see what it looks like. Lord, thank you that you show each one of us what it looks like. And then also look at the rocks and see if some of them have names on them. It's a way to see what is there. Lord, show each one of us what is written on these rocks. I'm just going to give you a minute to see that. You can open your eyes. So we all have that, and we are more or less aware of it. You might not know about it at all. You might be very aware of it. For most of us, it's like towers, and it hangs over our head, and it influences you every second of your life. The thing is, it's not separate from you. It becomes who you are. The experiences that you have in your life becomes part of your identity. Now, as Christians, we know. Do we know, actually? Do you know as Christian? What is your identity? So identity, if you don't know the word, means who I am. So if I look at you and I say, who are you? Just think in your head, if I tell you now, who are you? Just think in your head, what would you say back? So don't worry about getting the right answer now. Just tell me what are some of the things that you think of. When I say, who are you? What are some of the things that you want to answer? Your name? It's normally the first one. Daughter. This side of the room. What comes up for you if I say, who are you? What do you want to respond? Professor? So normally I'll go, you think, this is my name, I'm Liana, I'm a mom, I have kids, this is the job I do. This is where I come from. This is where I grew up. This is what I want to be one day. Those are all things that are part of your identity, and that's nothing wrong with that. But as Christians, what do we know? What is your core identity? The unchangeable core identity. Because if my identity, say, I used to be a business analyst, so say that's my identity. Let's say I really loved it, and it's the main thing about my life. So if you ask me, who are you? I'll say, I'm Liana, I'm a business analyst. Now, what if I lose my job? What happens? Then I'm just Liana. Because I've made being an analyst my identity, when I then lose my job, I lose who I am. I lose my identity. I have what we call an identity crisis. This is quite common because everyone in the world is trying to answer for themselves, who am I? Everyone tries to answer that. And depending what you answer it with, if you answer it with something changeable like your job or your relationships with your husband or your kids or your mom or where you come from or your talents, a lot of people will think, I am Peter and I am rich. That's who I am. I am Susan and I am beautiful. That's who I am. So when I'm not beautiful anymore, then what then? Who am I then? I don't know. If I'm not rich anymore, then what am I then? Then I feel like I am nothing. Because the something that I was something changeable. So what is the identity of a Christian? Child of God. So God created us for relationship with him. So that is our core identity. That should be the core identity of every person on earth because that is how we were created. I am loved by God and I am connected to him. I'm his son or I am his daughter. That is unchangeable. Nothing could ever change that. You are loved by God, and you, based on your choice, you can be his son or daughter. God will never change that. You can change it. You can't change that he loves you. That will never change. You can change being his son or daughter by choice because he's not forceful. but it will not change from his side. He will not reject you. That's the core identity. But now we sit with all these things of our life that's happened, and all of it influences us every second of our life. It's not separate from you. It becomes part of who you are, and sometimes becomes your very identity. If you went through a childhood where you've gone through situations where no one, for instance, you never had a voice. You could never say. Everyone just overrided you. Very strict parents always tell you what to do. Everyone else always tells you what to do. You could never make your own decision. Knowingly or unknowingly, you will start to think like that. You will think, my opinion does not matter. You'll become someone who does not give their opinion. And you will hesitate to give your opinion. It becomes part of who you are. And all these millions of things that happen through life becomes part of who you are. Some of them, obviously, are things that you have done. Some of them are sin that becomes part of you. You are. Some things have happened to you. That's just life. Some things are good things that become part of who you are. Some things are your talents, your skills. But if we want to live in our core identity, which we want to do, because we were made that way, because it is good for us, and because if we don't, then inevitably somewhere there is going to be a big crash, because everything else is changeable. This is sometimes what happens if people fall in love and their relationship to their spouse becomes their identity. That is when that spouse is just not perfect and a normal person like all of us are, and they do something that the other one didn't expect. It's like the whole world falls apart because that spouse was their whole world. That's the problem with making something your identity that is changeable. So as Christians, we want our identities to be that God loves us and to be our connection to him. But it's not always so easy to get to that place. And the first thing I want to encourage you tonight is that God wants to guide us to that place. Firstly, it's a decision. It's saying, God, I want my identity to be that I'm loved by you and that I'm connected to you. And secondly, it's working out that decision day by day. Some of those rocks, God will take overnight. Some of them you'll ask him now and you'll just take it. But most of them, you will ask God to help you get rid of them, and then it will be a process. And the process could be years. And then it's the commitment to see it through. The Lord will guide you. He will help you through your church, through small group, through encounters, lead you to places, lead you to people. He is faithful. He will give you what you need on the journey, but you will have to be committed to see it through. It's not a thing of perfection, and it's okay if you fail, and if it's okay if it's two steps forward, one step back, but there needs to be that consistency of sticking with him to sort that out. So before I continue, I want us to respond to that, if you can stand. So I'm just going to ask you to be bold, and I'm going to pray for us, but then I want you to pray. And I'm going to ask you to pray out loud, everyone all together. So if everyone does it, then no one will hear everyone else. So the bolder you are, the louder you pray, then you're helping everyone else. And sometimes there is, no, always, when God guides us to do something that's an action, this is what Matthew preached about in the previous part of the series, prophetic action, it's very powerful to sometimes do something about what you're praying or what the Lord is showing. So what I want you to do is pray out loud. I'm going to pray for you now. And then if there are some of these things in your life that you want to give to God, then I want you to just do it. Pick it up and give it. Each one of us. So we'll be doing it together. Then no one's weird. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to show you what it is. And then if you can see what it is, you call it by name. So if you see it's fear, you give it. If you see it's this uncle, then you give it. If you see it's my voice, then you give it. There's no right or wrong. It's not a test. Each person will do this differently. Maybe it's a time of your life, then you give it. Doesn't matter. Whatever comes up for you, whatever way the Lord works with you, what is written on those rocks or the ones you want to give. I'm going to pray now that you can see what they are. And then the ones that you see, I want you to pick it up and give it to the Lord and tell him that you're giving it to him. This is your first step of obedience to God. It's the first step on the journey. And he's faithful. As long as you stick with him, he will be faithful to complete it. So, Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you open our eyes to see what it is. and that you give us a boldness to just now take some of those and throw them away. We trust you for that in Jesus' name. So 1, 2, 3, go. Some of you, there's a rock that's called the lack of trust. If you have that one, just pick it up. It's like people have broken your trust and now you struggle to trust even God. For those of us who have that, Lord, thank you that we can pick it up and just give it to you. Some of you, it's just a rock called darkness. Something of your life you see as darkness. I want you to just pick that up and give that unto God. Some of you are recognizing things about you, like you're beautiful or you have a good voice or you're very smart, some good things, but it's actually become who you are. So you're not going to lose that talent, but I want you to give it unto God for his use. You just pick that up and give that unto him. Well, every eye's closed. If there's anyone here tonight who's making this transaction for the first time, you've actually never given something unto God, like given your life to him or started giving your things to him, I just want you to open your eyes and look at me. I'm going to pray, and I just want to know who I'm praying for. If you can't catch my eyes, just like wave at me or something. Cool. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, Father, I just pray for those people, Lord. I thank you for tonight that it's planned by you, God, and orchestrated. I thank you, I sense specifically for those four people, Lord, that you really want to take a yoke off their backs. You really want to remove a heaviness now in Jesus' name. We command a heaviness to go. We thank you, Father, just for a lightness. Thank you, Father, that you say that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. The yokes that are heavy are not from you. They are not meant to be there. We command them to go right now in Jesus' name. I sense like the Lord said to Elisha when he was with the oxen and plowing in the land, the Lord said to him, break the yoke and burn it and burn the oxen on it. And the Lord is saying to some of you, just break that yoke. Just like literally pretend like you're taking something from your shoulders and just throw it down. Amen. Just break that yoke. Thank you, Jesus. You just remove a heaviness now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you do that. We command every heavy yoke to go in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus, for your yoke that is easy. Your burden is light. I pray for that person, Lord, to take up your yoke, Jesus, that is easy and light. And we take authority over every lie that has said otherwise and that has wanted to bring that heaviness. We contend for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're just going to take 2 minutes before I continue. And I sense that tonight some of us, the Lord wants us to give things unto him. And you've given a lot of your rocks to him, but God also wants you to give good things. So Craig, if you can give papers, so you can take your seat for just 2 minutes. I want you to write on there your name and your number and then 2 or 3 things that you want to give unto God. You can write there your time. You can write money. You can write an amount. You can write there, I'm going to help this specific person, or I'm going to let the Lord show me someone to disciple. I'm going to let the Lord show me someone to love. I don't want to limit it. Whatever the Lord brings for you, or you say, I have this talent. I've been reading Genesis, Exodus 36, it speaks about the temple. They were rebuilding the temple. And they said to everyone, bring what you have. Moses said, just bring what you have. And people brought gifts, they brought things, but they also brought their talents. They said, you know, I'm a good artist and I want to bring my skill. So I want you to write your name and your number and 2 or 3 things that you want to bring to the Lord. And then you're going to give me that paper and I'm going to pray for you for that. And if some of those things that you're willing to give, if I can see it fits in somewhere with something that we're doing, I'll let you know. Not everything will, if you say, I want to help this specific person, obviously, you can just do that. But if you have a talent that you want to bring to the church, something specific, whatever God shows you, and I can see that that's going to fit in somewhere, then I can let you know. But Father, I thank you for each person. Lord, it's really a night of connecting with you and just bringing things to you, just a night of surrender. And as we have surrendered rocks to you, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. But thank you that we can also surrender the good things, Lord. We can also bring our gifts. We can bring our talents, that who you have made us to be. And I pray for each person that you will show them the two or three things that you want them to bring, Lord. Thank you for that. And some of it will be very natural for you. It's like, I'm good at this. I could bring this. Some of it will be hard for you. It's the Lord will say, bring this thing. And it'll be like, oh, I actually don't want to give that up. Or I'm scared to bring that. Whether it's easy or whether it's hard, trust the Lord to bring the things that he puts on your heart. If you're done writing, you can actually just quickly come put it on the table here. I feel like when you're young and your parents take out the post box and it's always like just bills and you just wish you had a letter. I feel like I'm getting like 20 letters. It's my day. No, it's not for me. It's for the Lord. So you're welcome to still finish up. I just want to share one last thing before we close off. And the specific word that I had on my heart this week was the word redemption. And the definition of redemption is to possess or repossess something that has already been paid for. So this is what we've been doing tonight. Jesus paid on the cross for our forgiveness of our sins. He paid for our healing from things that has happened to us. He paid for us to have that identity of a connection with him. It's like a voucher. It's like if you get the coffee voucher. Someone has already carried the cost of that voucher. It costs something to give you that coffee. It's not free, but it's free for you because the price has been paid, but you get the voucher and you can redeem the voucher. Now, redeem is the verb for the word redemption. So Jesus paid with the blood of, God paid with the blood of Jesus. Jesus paid with his blood. He paid with his son. For all of this, our healing, our forgiveness, everything, it's already done. So it's like that voucher exists, and it's up to us to decide if we're going to redeem it. Now, this is what God does, which no human can do, is redemption. It's not humanly possible to resolve that pile of rocks. Maybe with skills and psychology and counseling, maybe you'll chip at it over like 20 years. And there's psychology is amazing, and in my life, I've been through a lot of counseling as well, and that's good, and there's skill in there. But the real one who can really make a change is God. Obviously, the ideal is if the psychology and the counseling, all of that happens with the Holy Spirit. But those things are good, but God is the one who can really change things, and that is called redemption. And we have all experienced redemption in our lives, even if it was only tonight for the first time. This is redemption, is when we realize that the blood of Christ paid for something and we can redeem it. I don't want to, when I say voucher, I'm not trying to make it small. I'm just trying to help us understand because it's not small. It's the biggest voucher you could have in your life. It pays for everything, everything, your provision, your sickness, your healing, your very life. Your very eternal life it pays for. But just because Jesus died doesn't mean it will apply to your life. You have to actually action it. And that's what we're doing tonight. And what is really going to be important in those 4 weeks when we go to the Jamison Hall, when we're going to have those services, and this is why I want to urge you to be there for all four. You know, I see how people can commit for rugby games. If it's a tournament, it's no matter what job you do or what your life is like, people find it possible to commit for every game. Even if they have to get up at 4 a.m, I see people do that for a rugby game. It's possible in our lives when we prioritize something, it's possible to commit for it. And I really want to encourage us to commit for this. Not because, don't do it for me, like I need you or we need you to be there. I believe God is doing something, and I believe you don't want to miss out. But what I want to urge us is this redemption that happens for us, this redemption also happens on a greater level. We are privileged. Just by being here tonight, you have heard the gospel. I'm pretty sure that it's not the first time. But even if it was your first time, you've heard it. You've heard the gospel now. But there are many people right outside the door who haven't heard it. or they haven't heard it properly, or they heard it without seeing it actually happening. They heard it without the power of God, or they've heard it but they don't understand it, or they've heard it but they haven't had an opportunity to respond to it. So on one level, there's a continuous redemption in our own lives, and this is just the journey we walk. But on a second level, the redemption needs to go outside. That payment for people's healing, for their sin, for their very eternal existence, their lives, that payment has already been made. Jesus cannot do more than he has already done. And in a very real way, each one of you sitting now with 100 vouchers in your back pocket. If you had 100 spa vouchers and you could just hand it out, I'm pretty sure you would. Humanly, you would probably pick all your favorite people first. And then maybe if you don't have 100 favorite people, like your family, and then probably you'll just hand it out at street. But it's not even really like you have 100. It's like you have endless. We are the ones who understand this and have heard it. We are the ones who can hand it out. And there is no one else who can do it. Jesus does not come to earth anymore in human form and speak to people. It happens very rarely. But Jesus, we are Jesus' plan. We are the plan. And the only way that people hear, the main way that people hear is through us. God does the work, but we need to just be willing. Then there's a greater redemption. And then there's an even greater redemption. In the spiritual realm, things all work together. There are our hearts. There are the hearts of all the people. There is this country. There is God's plan for you. There's God's plan for the church. There's God's plan for Cape Town. There's God's plan for Africa. There's such a big level. There's God's plan for the world. Lots of plans, probably not just one plan. So many things that God wants to do, and all of that can be redemptive. So if you think about our country, there's a lot of things happening that's not the will of God. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of things happening that's not God's plan. But those things can be redeemed through the blood of Jesus. But it's not automatic. We have to apply it. We have to pray it. And then we have to walk in obedience from our prayer and do what the Spirit urges us to do. And we have to be available for that. We are God's agents. The law of agency, God works through us. And it's an amazing privilege. Jason, if you can show us that video. So I just want to encourage you. So that's why I'm inviting you to really prioritize those 4 weeks, set it out. And all of you have people in small group who are not here tonight and other people in church. So please encourage them as well. You be the one to motivate and activate your group to be there. And we need to trust the Lord for who we need to bring. That venue is massive. We can fit a lot of people in that venue, more than 1,000. It's an opportunity from speakers who carry a lifetime of authority and anointing. It's an opportunity for us to bring people in. Do you know when you into contact with the message of God, the gospel, into an atmosphere where they can respond to it, into an atmosphere where there will be healing? You know that God heals at any time and in any place, but when we come together, we create a specific atmosphere. It's like an open heaven. It's like it happens easier here. That is very true. So if you invite someone there, it will happen easier there. Who knows that you invite someone? Is it going to be like this? You're going to invite someone and they're just going to come. Okay, everyone's laughing. This is how it goes. There's a battle for lives. So you need to invite. Then you need to offer to pick them up. Then on Sunday, your phone needs to be off so they can't cancel. And when it's the correct time, you just pitch up at their house. Then if they're not dressed, you wait and say, well, I'm here now. So you're just going to wait till they get dressed. When you ask, before you ask them, you pray for them. After you've asked them, you pray for them. You don't ask one, you ask 15. And you trust the Lord that you can get 5 to come. This is sowing the seed. And I want to encourage you. The Lord we're living in an incredible time. This is an incredible year prophetically. Go and see on the internet Cindy Jacobs, the respected prophets in the world. So go and look at Cindy Jacobs 2018. Look on YouTube what the respected prophets in the world are saying for this year. This is a big year. This is going to be a good year. Last year was a difficult year, but this is a good year, prophetically. This is time for the harvest. There's something happening in our country. Do you know that? Do you understand that this drought is bringing people to God? Do you understand that people are turning to God in their desperation? People are anxious and desperate. Do you know it's a time for people to turn their hearts to God? Are you joining in on the anxiety? Are you fearing that you're not going to have water? Or are you putting your attention on people who are anxious and helping them with the answer to the anxiety? The answer, by the way, is not water. The answer is God. Are you testifying to everyone is anxious now? It's a wonderful time to help people. It's a wonderful time to help people understand what relieves anxiety. Are you fighting your own anxiety so that you can help others connect to God? Do you understand that people are living with no security because in a way their security was in water? Are you at peace? Do you know God will look after you even if you don't have perhaps a garage full of water? If God told you to store up your garage, he'll do it. But if he didn't tell you, do you know that he will look after you? Do you have that security? There was that prayer in Parliament last year where Musi Maimane's wife was also praying. She's an intercessor. Do you understand that God is putting things in place all over? I'm not saying he's the answer. God is the answer. I'm just saying there are a lot of places where things are coming into place. Things are moving. It's a good time. It's a harvest time. But the harvest can only come through our hands. So a bit of encouragement. Let me maybe just give you the context. This is Todd White. He's an evangelist. He made this movie of his life. It's called Lifestyle Christianity. So it's like a two-hour movie, and all it is his day-to-day life. And this is the possibility. Not all of us are evangelists. It might not look like this in your life exactly. But this is the surrendered life where people get influenced. Okay. Thanks, Jason. So I can recommend the whole movie. It's really amazing. So he just shows his life, how he's grown with God, that this is normal life to him. He's just going to the gym, and then he just whoever prays for. So this is, he's obviously evangelist. He's doing it in a very specific way. But when we have Memorial Hall, so he says it's not hard, and it's true. When you get into this habit, it's not hard. And Megan, are you guys doing something? Yes. So if you want to practice this, speak to Megan or to Armand. Don't know where he is, but you know who Armand is. There is Armand. You're also doing something like this. Yeah. So speak to Megan or Armand. They are going to be doing things like this, practicing it. Of course, you might feel scared, probably. It is like a little bit scary. So don't worry. Just go. Just go with them. Tell them the first time you don't want to do anything. You just want to watch. Just do that. Just go. Like I said with other things, it's something that's learned. It's for me, I'm quite an introvert. I need a lot of alone time. I get very tired if I have to talk a lot. So I have found the way that the Lord does it with me. It doesn't look exactly like that. That is very tiresome to me. If I have to have conversations with five people I don't know in a day, by the evening I am zonked completely. That's just not sustainable for an introvert. But I have done that, and I've grown, and I've found the way it works with me. So go and tell Megan or Armand you want to join in what they're doing and get part of it. But for Memorial Hall, it's so easy, okay? The gospel will be preached there. So it's not on you to preach the gospel. If you are still a little bit anxious about praying for someone like that, that's also not on you. What you can do is invite them, pray that they would come, and then have good strategies with the Lord about getting them there. This is just practical. You know, all of us have some story about how we came to the Lord. And I guarantee you, if you've come to the Lord, someone prayed for you, whether you know it or not. Maybe it's your grandmother that you don't even know. But people have prayed for you, and people have contended for you. Maybe it's your mother. Maybe it's a friend. And that is how you came to the Lord. This is what it takes. You know, we can have lots of ideals about how a country can change, how the politics can be different, how land reform can be handled differently, who should be appointed, you know, which is going to be the better party to run it, how this one feels about that, how that one feels about this, what this one did. We can have all kinds of strategies, and definitely there are better choices and worse choices. But do you know how things really change? Things change when hearts change. You can have the most amazing moral person who's not a Christian, make them a leader, make them a political leader, and look what where they're at 5 years down the line. Probably not moral. This is how it works. We cannot depend on goodness. We cannot depend on good ideas, good choices. We can depend on God. God changes our hearts. We are not worthy because of ourselves. We are worthy because of God, because of the price of the cross that he paid for us. This is how a country changes, when people's hearts change. How do hearts change? One by one. How does it change? What is the only way that it can change? What is the only thing that can be done about all these rocks? Because this is the problem. People are making wrong choices because of the influence of their life that speaks to them every second. Because money is the most important thing to them. Or because they were hurt and they are forever trying to overcome their hurt. Or because they feel that being powerful is the answer to importance. The only way that this can change is by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is already there. It's already available. It's already accessible. But we can hand it out. And at these four services, there's a lot of space, and the gospel will be preached, and the power and the presence of God will be there. The only thing that God requires of us is to bring people there. Okay, so I'm going to finish off with that. Let's pray together. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for each one of us here. And I'm challenged, Lord, and I don't live this always as I should. We're all growing, Lord. We're all in parts of our journey. Sometimes some of these things, we find it scary just because we haven't really done it. We have different mindsets. But thank you that we can come tonight. And if you're willing, then you just agree with me. We can just say that we are willing, Lord. Thank you that you show specific people to just go and chat to Megan and Armand, Lord, and take a first step of faith. Just go along and see how it is. Thank you, Father, that you're not looking for perfection, that it doesn't matter if we fail, doesn't matter if it doesn't work, but you're just looking for obedience and willingness, and that you'll train us along the way. And I pray now, Lord, for each one of us, that you'll show us the people to invite to Memorial Hall, friends, colleagues, family, strangers in the mall, strangers in the Pick and Pay queue. Thank you, Lord, that you will alert us, Father. We repent, God, that we sometimes do not care about people, that we, like he said in that DVD clip, how many Christians have walked past that lady and just didn't care? They didn't care that she's going to hell. She wants Jesus. She was just looking for someone to bring it to the gospel. How many people, Father, that is looking for Jesus, and we walk with the answer, and sometimes we just don't care about their lives. We don't care about their eternity. We care more about our fear than we care about their lives. And we repent of that. And if you associate with that, then you just repent to God. Lord, we repent of that. Father, we choose to care, Lord. We choose to love as you love. Thank you, Father, that you have chosen to use us. We want to make ourselves available. Thank you that you show us, God, who to bring, who to invite. Thank you that there will be an opportunity. It's like, I see a vision, it's like a banquet. The table has been set. It's like a wedding feast. The party is already organized. You don't have to organize the party. It's there. You just bring the guests. They might encounter Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for strategies. Thank you for perseverance on our part. Thank you for a boldness on our part, not to invite timidly, but to invite boldly with persuasion, Lord, and in prayer, Father, and with authority. Thank you for that, Jesus. And we trust you. We thank you that you've set up these 4 weeks, Lord, for your kingdom, that there are things that you're going to shift in the atmosphere. And thank you that we can be a part of that. Thank you, Lord, that you help us, God, and guide us in that. Thank you that we can trust, Lord, as we bring people. Thank you for many salvations, Lord. Thank you for people to be set free, to be healed. Many people hear God's voice for the first time. Many people hear God speaking to them for the first time. Many people will come to know who they are through those 4 weeks. We thank you for that, and we anticipate that, and we are so excited about seeing and witnessing that. We thank you for that, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close off the service here. You're very welcome to join us for snacks at the back. If some of our leaders can just quickly come forward, some of our small group leaders or church members, I just want to give opportunity if there's need for prayer. Nolutandu, Marion, Ariana. Tapiwa. So they're just going to be in front here. Yeah? And if you want to pray or you want to ask something, you just want someone to pray for you, please take the boldness, take the opportunity to come forward to ask someone to pray for you, and then welcome to join us for snacks in the back. Thanks for being here, and the Lord bless you this week.